B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Thursday, February 14th, 2019. Happy Valentine's Day and happy OWL Day.
Yeah.
Want to thank everyone listening on WWKB 1520 in Buffalo and ESPN Radio 97.7, 100.1, and 1200 AM in Syracuse, New York. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, Nintendo held a Nintendo Direct conference last night and unveiled some amazing new releases for the Switch, and I can't wait to talk about them. Plus, if you aren't able to hear this week's national show, then you're going to miss out on a fascinating discussion Norris had with the OWL casting team. Or at least you would have if we didn't play it here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. There's so much going on in the world of esports right now that it can be tough to make sense of it all. Well, don't worry, we've got a new segment called Reset the Bracket, and we're going to help get you caught up on what you need to know.
Yep, guys, I've got five major questions looming over the world of esports right now. I'm going to present them to you, and we're going to do our best to help bring people up to speed. So first, I'm still seeing headlines about Farming Simulator as an esport. Why? What is happening?
Okay, here's simply what's happening is that you have a large community of people who have context for farming out in Central and Northern Europe. They've been able to latch on to this because this is a major part of their culture and what they identify with, and they see this represented in video games, and they want to do it enough to make it competitive. Well, do I think it's really weird? Yes, of course I do, but the competition and the infrastructure that they've set up for this is absolutely amazing.
I actually think that it's something else at play that we're seeing here. We're seeing the critical mass of esports starting to form. When you have competitive scenes for something like Farming Simulator 2019, that's not sustainable long term, especially when you have prize pools that are more than you would see out of the FGC coming out of Farming Simulator 2019. That to me is a little bit insane. But that's why you're seeing headlines about it, is that this is now being formalized into a league, and yeah, it's as crazy as you think it is.
Well, regardless of what you think about it, the fact remains that just like any other esports, they're all outstanding in their fields.
Oh my god.
I hate you so much. I'm physically hurt by that.
Oh. No, Farming Simulator is a really niche game, but because it doesn't have a ton of competition, it has a very large fan base, and they're, you know what, you announce a Farming Simulator game, that fan base is actually pretty excited about it.
So. Very large is, I would argue with that.
It's larger than Heroes of the Storm.
Too soon.
Painfully true.
Too soon.
All right, everyone's talking about Super Smash Bros. Competitive again. Why do I keep hearing about it?
Because Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, so far, in my opinion, the best game in the franchise, and probably the last, came out, and it's perfect in just about every way.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I just think, you know, with Genesis 6 now in the books, people have gotten to see what Smash Ultimate looks like competitively. There's a viable alternative to just Smash Melee, so whether you like Melee or want something different, you have something
y'all
to watch.
Y'all are missing the biggest point here. Nintendo is officially involved in the esports of this game. It's officially branded. It's helping out with the tournament scene. Nintendo has been notoriously hands-off when it comes to the FGC or any esport for that matter.
I would argue,
them getting involved is very, very special here.
It is, but I'd argue that even if they weren't, this would still be taking off, and it would still be a landmark year for Smash.
I don't know. A lot of cats in the FGC saying this is the major difference, and they see the difference on the back end.
Yeah, I think that really is it, is that this version of the game is so far and away better than Smash 4 or Brawl, and more well received, that I think that that's really renewed a whole lot of interest in the Smash scene that wouldn't otherwise be there. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on News Talk 820 AM WWBA in Tampa, Sports Talk 1080 The Team in Orlando, and News Talk 1080 1060 WIXC in Melbourne, Florida. We're currently playing a brand new game called Reset the Bracket. We're currently rapid firing some of the hottest topics in esports to get you caught up on what you need to know.
So there's a new Mortal Kombat game coming out soon, and people are really talking about fighting games a lot recently. Why?
Well, first of all, I mean, everybody loves Mortal Kombat. That's the number one. A new Mortal Kombat game out, people are going to be excited regardless. However,
I don't know about that.
No.
I don't know about that. The last couple of years, they have had a rocky track record. They have not had very well-received titles.
Since NetherRealm made the shift over when they started doing the Mortal Kombat, the MK9, and switched that system over, they've been well-received Mortal Kombats. As a matter of fact,
it's been getting
Sonic
better,
Fox
but it had
built his career on NetherRealm
games.
It's
been getting better, but there was a span of like 11 years where it went from MK3 till about MK9 where they had nothing but bombs.
Of course, but then you can't discount the past 5 years where the Mortal Kombat scene has been strong.
I'm not discounting that. I'm just saying that if somebody is from the outside just starting to hear about Mortal Kombat again, it's because the series started to get good again. It was bad for a long time, Norris, and you have to admit
that. I'm not denying that, but I'm saying it's had a track record proven as an esport, so people are excited about it, and that's a good thing, flat out.
All right, people are really starting to talk about Apex Legends. Is it that big of a deal?
Being one of the first Battle Royale games to maybe have a chance at cutting into Fortnite, yeah, that is
a chance they already have.
But can they keep it up is going to be the question.
Well, so just recently it did break Fortnite's Twitch record for single day viewership. That's an impressive milestone.
Yep, sure is.
It's got major names like Ninja competing in it. I would say this for it. It's actually fun. I've played a lot of free-to-play games that aren't very fun.
And as someone who's played a few of the Battle Royale games, too, it doesn't just take from other games to make it sound like a lot of people are basically saying that it does. It does a lot to improve on the genre as well, which I think is very important.
Well, and it's not that different from what we've seen out of the genre. You know, I think if this game had preceded Blackout Mode, that, you know, we would have been looking at Call of Duty like, wow, you're really cribbing hard on what Apex Legends was bringing to the table.
Fair.
They're so similar visually and the way that they function mechanically that I almost can't believe that Activision's not going to be throwing a lawsuit EA's way.
Well,
for
we
it.
Saw how well that worked for PUBG.
Yeah, that's true.
The National PUBG League seems to be off to a strong start. What sets it apart from Fortnite tournaments or the PUBG World Championships? Those kind of seem to be a bit of a flop.
It
What's
looks
the
amazing.
Oh my God, have you seen the presentation? Have you seen the stage? Have you seen the OGN Arena? Like, this is a presentation that I would relish seeing live.
Yeah.
I would jump at the opportunity to go out to that OGN Arena. If I lived in California, I would be making it a point to be going out there at least once a week. I think so highly of this presentation. I think PUBG is a much more engaging esport than others, far more so than Fortnite. But I think that this is an interesting precedent because this is the first time that someone has really found a great way to present a game with 80 or more players playing at once. That is a feat that we sat here and in the abstract wondered how it could possibly be done, and NPL is pulling it off to lengths that I'm just floored by.
Yeah, I think you go and you see the arena. They've got the kind of college professor classroom style seating.
Yep.
It all just works. The presentation is very simple but very effective.
All right, well, listen, we got to leave it right there. We want to hear from you. Send us your questions about what's going on in the world of esports, and maybe you'll hear it on the next Reset the Bracket. You can send those to us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, Norris got to travel out to the Overwatch League Media Day, so we'll check out his conversation with the OWL casters, Zoe, Puckett, Uber, and Malik. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, Nintendo held a direct conference last night and made some huge announcements. We're going to break all of them down ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on CBS Sports Radio 1300 in Baltimore, as well as the Ticket 1230 in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the BPod Network at bpodstudios.com. For more great listening options, like if you give a Rick a podcast for kids about the world of children's books, and nerd radio for everything from sci-fi to wrestling to all things nerdy in between, go to bpodstudios.com. The place to be for podcast discovery. Seriously, check out Nerd Radio. They're a good bunch of dudes. Nintendo held a Nintendo Direct conference where they outlined some of the major releases coming up for the Switch. We're going to run down that list and give you some of our thoughts.
Yep, we got to start with this one because it is big. We got Super Mario Maker 2 coming to the Switch in June.
You know, I might actually play this. Like, I didn't have...
Really?
Dude, I didn't have a Wii. I didn't have a Wii U.
That's it.
I did have a 3DS, and I did play the some of the Mario throwback games on that, and I...
Mario 3D World?
I absolutely wouldn't mind like downloading some other people's levels. I can't
would
see myself
build any?
I can't see myself making levels.
But this is how I feel about most Mario titles, especially ones that I would have played on the Wii and the Wii U. Like, I just feel like the Switch is just the place for me to catch up on like Nintendo's past 15 years.
But that's the thing, is Super Mario Maker was a legitimately great game that was completely kneecapped by the fact that it was on the Wii U and no one could get it. Like,
I think that this will actually build a nice little community around it. And I mean, think of how like Little Big Planet was for years. They had people who were dedicated to making really monster content for that. So like, I'm really excited to be able to be a part of this, because there was no way I was going to go out of my way to buy a Wii U just to be able to do Mario Maker.
Wasn't there some big snafu at some point with the Mario Maker community too, where Nintendo like had deleted a bunch of their content?
I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm sure there was.
Maybe.
Box Boy is being released on the Switch with a co-op mode, so if you're a fan of the 3DS title, it's going to be released with 200 new levels, and that's coming out on April 26th, and it will have a co-op mode.
Forgive my ignorance. What
I don't
this?
Know Box Boy. I owned a 3DS. I played a lot of games on the 3DS, but I don't know Box Boy.
It literally is it's moving boxes.
Oh, it's a puzzle game.
It's a puzzle game.
Okay. Oh, cool.
Okay.
Dragon Quest XI is coming to the Switch. It was one of the most loved games of that franchise. It's going to have the option to switch to retro-style graphics for the Switch.
Ooh.
It's going to be available this fall.
Might be a good time to finally get into Dragon Quest.
It might be, right?
Like, yeah. I actually might get this.
Like, Dragon Quest, I've always wanted to play them. It's kind of always been the analog to Final Fantasy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I played a little bit of Dragon Quest VIII on the PlayStation 2.
I really
liked it. Okay. I genuinely enjoyed it.
Dragon Quest XI is turn-based,
not
right? Turn-based combat?
Enough to finish it, though.
Oh,
not
okay.
Enough to finish it, right? Like, I liked what I played, but I was okay with setting it down and not coming back. It wasn't one of those that bugged me for not finishing it.
Okay.
One of the best things about the Dragon Quest franchise, hands down, is that soundtrack, though.
Ooh,
they do a symphonic soundtrack every time, and it is gorgeous. So that is something that I'm looking forward to. And listen, any RPG on the Switch, I think the Switch is a perfect vehicle for an RPG like this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited.
All right, this was the one for me.
Ooh.
Legend of Zelda, Link's Awakening is being remade for the Switch.
Look,
that's right, guys.
Great.
The remakening is happening.
This is a big deal. So, Joe, this was you've told this story a couple of times on the show.
Yeah.
Link's Awakening was the very first video game that you ever played.
That's correct. Four years old.
Your mom went out and bought you a Game Boy and Link's Awakening.
Yeah, it came with Link's Awakening, I think.
How excited are you for this?
I was nervous until I saw the trailer and the gameplay footage, and I'm like, never mind, I'm excited, I'm ready for this right now.
I'm so excited
for this. They have not taken the stance of like, let's modernize it. The stance of like, let's bring the graphics up to date, let's bring the music up to date, but it's just Link's Awakening.
I'm so excited to wake the Windfish again.
Yes, even the Goombas are back.
This is great.
This is one of the strangest entries in the entire Zelda franchise.
This and Majora's Mask are the two weird ones.
Those are the two entries in the series that really kind of operate by different rules.
Mm-hmm.
So excited.
And also quite beloved.
As far as a Game Boy game, like Link's Awakening could be one of the best original Game Boy titles ever made. So
if not the best.
Hands down.
Tetris.
Hands down. I mean, it's got some of the best dungeons in the entire series.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's got some of the best boss fights in the entire series. Cannot wait. I am so excited for this.
All right, up next, we've got Smash Ultimate version 3.0. We don't actually know a ton about what that's going to include, just that it's coming out in the spring.
I'm expecting some balance changes, obviously.
Yeah.
Maybe some new music added. New spirits added.
Sure.
And
probably
of course,
some info on the next DLC character.
Yeah, and the backbone for Joker. From Persona.
Do you think that there's going to be some like underlying changes, some like mechanical changes? Something that any of us in this room would
never notice, but the pros would. There will be balance
changes. You think so?
Yeah, they'll have a couple super majors in their books to kind of go
they'll
off of for balance changes.
Yeah,
they could.
Are there any particular characters that are like stupid broken? I mean, I know
it's not so much that I think that they would nerf the characters that are broken, but probably buff some characters. Little Mac's useless, literally.
Okay.
In pro play, he might get a buff. A couple other characters might get a buff. But yeah, I think top tier is where it's going to be.
Okay. Interesting.
Up next, we've got Fire Emblem Three Houses. I wish Sarah was here because this would be the one that she would be excited about.
I don't get Fire Emblem. So many people like Fire Emblem. I don't understand why people love Fire Emblem.
It's a story-heavy RPG.
Explain it to me.
I've never been able to get through an entire Fire Emblem game. It's sort of one that I put in the same category as Suikoden.
I
can't get into Suikoden either because I feel like it's almost too dense, and maybe it's just because I'm trying to play it in 2018, 2019, and it feels old. Like it does.
It definitely feels like
it has not aged particularly well.
I'm just saying.
But I generally tend to put Fire Emblem in that same category.
I've never actually tried a Fire Emblem game before, so this might be one that I ought to give at least one of them a shot.
Listen,
right?
Again, I will say this again. Okay, I have not had a ton of exposure to Nintendo consoles in the last three console cycles, so it's not like I would have been in Fire Emblem's target demographic anyway. I may give this a shot again. This is more RPGs on a system on a set of hardware that's perfectly tuned for it.
I'll just say this:
anime.
It's a story heavy RPG with a focus on character relationships. Mass Effect fans, just saying.
But Mass Effect is not anime.
Whatever.
Next week, I will fight you, Joe. It does replace the Star Wars from Mass Effect with anime.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Up next, we've got Tetris 99, which is a battle royale for Tetris. That's interesting.
So we talking about this, you know, originally when we heard about Tetris 99 coming out, we all went like, this is so dumb. And then when, you know, people got their hands on it and we saw actually what it was.
There's some interesting mechanics.
Even Super Producer Cookie has it.
Uh-huh. It's 100% Puyo Tetris. I'm into it.
Listen, it's free and it's available right now. So
get it. Yeah. Lastly, we've got Astral Chain, Cyberpunk Bayonetta from Platinum. Yes, please. That's basically what it is. Yep. Watching the trailer, it looks awesome. I'm really excited for it. The music is the big thing for me because I swear I didn't look it up. I don't know for sure if it's the same music team that created Bayonetta's soundtrack. But I'm almost certain that it is because the musical cues are right on.
Platinum has this particular style of music that they like to attach to all of their games. I don't know if they make it in house or what, but it's this like kind of like
working on it.
Like
so.
It's kind of like
acid
this
lounge,
like this. No, this overblown rock and roll sort of stuff.
Oh, you mean that stuff?
Yeah. So,
dude, it sounds awesome. I can't wait to play it.
Well, listen, we want to hear from you. Which announcement are you most excited for? Share your opinions at Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Ahead next, Norris got to travel out to Burbank, California for the OWL Media Day, and while he was out there, he got to sit down with the OWL casting team of Zoe, Uber, Malik, and Puckett. Stick around. That conversation is ahead next on Checkpoint XP.
Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
And welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on 98.5, the Sports Hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. Make sure you're following us on our officially partnered Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. We've got tons of new emotes, including each of our beautiful faces, as well as not one but two cat emotes, Tali and Fritz. Our actual cats are now Twitch emotes, and there's only one place to get them. That's at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Out at the Overwatch League Media Day, Norris got to sit down with the casting team for OWL. So let's take a listen to his conversation with Uber, Puckett, Zoe, and Malik.
So moving forward into season two, you guys got it's a lot of people moving to the desk, you know, new faces coming on to the crew. How's season two looking for you guys?
Very exciting. I'm very excited about all the changes we made. We're still working, of course, with familiar faces. Reinforce still part there. Of the team, yeah. Really, and will be working with us on a daily, which I'm very, very happy
we
about.
We didn't manage to get Bren fired yet, which is
We're still trying to get rid of Bren.
That's a stretch goal for 2019.
That's a long one.
You guys don't have to do that. He can pretty much do that himself.
That's true. He does all the work.
No, it's good. I think, we've been hitting the books pretty hard with the new expansion teams, because not only have our original 12 teams made changes and so the meta also has shifted quite a lot. We've never had like a tank heavy sort of meta in the Overwatch League. If you think about it, like all this talk about goats and quad tank setups only happen in contenders and Path to Pro, so it never touched the Overwatch League. So as casters and analysts, we actually had to read up on that as well. We had to go back to like contenders and start watching a lot of these matches and understand sort of how we can expect those games to play out.
Yeah, and speaking of those new teams, you know, a lot of the teams back there are saying, you know, Hangzhou is looking really, really strong. Is that the team everybody should be looking forward to?
I mean, it's kind of hard, because until you actually go out on that stage and perform, you can't really draw any conclusions, but that's kind of the talk right now.
I'll be honest. I think that New York XL is going to be the team to watch, right? What should have been returning champions. They had the best record throughout the regular season. Didn't have the best playoffs, but I think they're still the top dogs. If you look at all the new teams, though, I think Vancouver Titans are probably set up to have the most success, although their transition to the States hasn't been as easy as some of the other teams. This is the old school team, ready to prove to all of the Overwatch League fans what they've been doing over in South Korea for years.
Yeah. I think on the note of New York, this year our playoffs are going to be double elimination, so there'll be less risk of like maybe a bad day or a bad series like kicking you out of playoff contention.
Carpe won't do it again.
You know, every time I say that, he ends up doing it again right in front of me, so that's what always gets me. Hangzhou, I think, is being really highly touted by a lot of teams, because their current, what we know is that they don't really want to play inside the sort of parameters of, you know, what the accepted meta is. So they're trying a lot of different stuff. They have really strong individual skill and synergy to back up this sort of wacky kind of play style. So I hope that transitions to the stage itself and we get to see this team, you know, plucky, come out of relative obscurity and ready just to sort of make quite a splash on the stage with some unorthodox strategies.
Yeah, and Gushue was really great at the World Cup too, so I'm looking forward to seeing him play as well. Now, we got a lot of stuff coming up, especially with the week previous to the season. You guys will have to play, so you'll have to play again. Are you guys looking forward to that?
I mean,
you can be honest here.
Okay, let's be honest here. Not necessarily. I like being prepared, and I know that throughout last year when we had the talent takedown, we had a lot of time to prepare, play with each other, figuring out who's playing what role. This time, honestly, no idea. I'm not even sure. Like, I usually will play main tank. I don't know who's in my team, to be honest. That's the first issue.
They split us up.
Yeah. We're matched with other people, but we don't know who we're playing with.
I'll play Mercy. That's fine.
You be my Mercy?
Yeah, I'll play Mercy.
What a team player. Yeah, so I guess we just figured that out. So nothing to worry about.
I think I'm more scared of letting down like the influences that are going to be on my team.
Yeah, they're going to be better than us. Like, that's the thing.
Last year, obviously, the Atlantic team, like, took the practice time pretty seriously. I don't think anyone can, like, it's like a natural disaster. Like, no one can really predict Sideshow, like, feeding his brains out, like, every single team fight. Maybe I should have.
The Pacific team definitely saw it coming, for sure, for sure.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm not going to get to play in this match. Yeah. I wish I could, because I don't have to play with Sideshow this time.
I remember Malik came in, like, straight off the bench, looking sharp, looking on fleek, ready to play. And then I saw his face just fall every time Sideshow ran face first into a bullet after bullet. There was one kill where Sideshow's like, oh my god, Johnny just hit the most nuttiest shot on me. Like, it was crazy. And I spoke to Johnny about it. He's like, oh, what do you mean? Sideshow was just hanging in midair, suspended. That's mercy, not moving at all. And I just, like, slowly aimed at his head and killed him.
Is that your reinforced impression?
Yeah. He has a deep voice, you know. I mean, it's hard to replicate.
Malik and Puckett, Reaper and Doomfist are much stronger now. Doomfist is meta. I'm going to credit you guys for that. So how do you feel about Reaper getting buffed and the Puckfist, man? Is serious.
I'll be honest. The Puckfist is broken. He's been broken for a few weeks here now. People can move after I slam them, and I don't like that. I don't often follow up like I used to. So I think you're going to see a lot of different heroes used for me in the All-Star match again.
Yeah, and I'm a big fan of the Reaper buffs. I mean, if you look at the current meta and how everyone's playing these tank-heavy lineups, having a Reaper is awesome because you're just getting there. You can just shred away, you know? I don't know if any of the teams are going to utilize Reaper, but I'm definitely looking forward to seeing if anybody has any, like, trick plays where they throw Reaper in.
Yeah, and we've been seeing a lot of folks in our chat at twitch.tv/checkpointxp.
Big fan of that chat.
Yeah. And, you know, they want to know, who's been playing Ash? Has any of you guys been playing Ash? Do you appreciate it? Oh, of course.
I appreciate good Ash.
I played Ash for about a week, and then I found Hanzo again. So, Hanzo, carry Ash. Just play Hanzo.
That's so frustrating.
Bob, to capture the point, there's no better way to win.
Ash is nutty because she's the only hero that can charge ultimate while using ultimate, technically. So you can actually get a lot of value out of that. I think, like, the way that she aims in is really unique in the game because, obviously, like, it's an iron sight hero, which is, it's not like a scope or anything. But it can kind of be hard to get used to because you get, like, a frame drop and, like, if you don't have, like, the right relative sensitivity when you're zoomed in, you can do not much. But her dynamite is epic, man. If, like, there's, like, five tanks standing around together, you just throw a dynamite and you get, like, 40% of your roll. It's so sick.
So, lastly, who should everybody be looking forward to in Season 2?
You mean player-wise or team-wise?
It's always like, me!
Me. No, there are so many talented people joining the league, and still, of course, some really, really big names like Jonak, always an obvious answer. I'd actually go with Demon, DM or Gushue, because these two players have impressed me already, like, time and time again in their respective teams before. I can't wait to see what DM is doing for the Shanghai Dragons. And Gushue, he was a beast at Overwatch World Cup, and I expect him to do exactly the same here.
I can't wait to see what happens with a bit more of our extra European representation now. The Paris Eternal is, like, it's a European roster. They picked it to try and show the strength of players from that region, which is great. And I also think the Chinese region is just teeming with talent. You know, seeing, especially teams like Chengdu, who are, you know, primarily Chinese sort of based teams, that really want to see how strong that region is and how it stacks up against your Korea, your North America, and such.
I have to say, since I used to live in Macon, Georgia, that I'm really looking forward to seeing what the Atlanta Reign do. Of course, they have the highly touted player Defren on their squad.
Oh, yeah.
And also, a guy that I watched during the World Cup and I was very impressed by, Kodak, their Zenyatta player, their support player. It's going to be awesome seeing how they do. But I'm also very interested in this redemption arc with the Shanghai Dragons. I think this is the year where we're going to see a complete flip for that franchise.
And so it's going to be awesome to watch.
They could.
They can.
They could.
They could go 28 and over.
Was it you say that because Defren is at the top of our drama pool, so we'll see.
Yeah, Defren, I'm excited for the guy. He told me, you know, I don't want to focus on interviews, I just want to focus on my play. And we asked him, though, do you plan to keep up your streaming career while you're playing in the Overwatch League? Are you afraid of burnout? And he said, I'm going to try and do both. So that's kind of a big storyline for me. I think getting as much game time as he can is going to help him in his matches, but I hope that he doesn't go overboard and stress himself out with either an injury as the season goes on or just run out of gas, as, you know, we have four stages. Don't don't burn out here in stage one or stage two.
Well, thank you guys so much for your time. Looking forward to seeing you on all the streams and casts. Thank you so much. The casting crew, desk crew, just all around great people from the Overwatch League. Thank you so much, guys.
Cheers, thank you, man.
Pleasure, man.
Thank you.
Thanks again to the OWL casting team for their time and to Blizzard for being such great hosts out at the OWL Media Day. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. How excited are you for Overwatch? It's finally here. It's starting like right now. We're going to send a host out and get you out there right now. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _ XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website at checkpointxp.com for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a full archive of episodes, podcasts, and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Thanks to our executive producing team of Buzz Knight, Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis, and of course my co-hosts who pull double duties as producers for Checkpoint XP. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.